Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
I just want to take some time at the beginning to just really kind of share what I believe God wants to say to us. And it's going to need a response from every one of us in the place. And God's purpose is not to give us a hard time this morning. God's purpose is to release us more into his purposes. Now, as everybody's aware, the last few days we've had revival days since Wednesday evening, and it has been a very, very deep work that God has been doing in our lives. And it's more significant, I think, than, you know, we probably realize. But one of the things we've said about revival days is that it's not a conference. It's not a bunch of meetings where we just have a rah-rah. It's not a bunch of meetings just because we need more meetings. The purpose of revival days was to set aside these days in our diaries, in our schedules, in our life together, so that as a body, we could collectively come before the Lord and give him time together for him to speak, to move, to do whatever he wants to do in us. Now, why do we have these days? We have these days because God has given us a mandate. God has given us not just a vision of something, you know, that would be great to see one day, but God has given us a mandate. God has given us promises, prophetic words. He's given us a call that we must respond to, and therefore we must give ourselves to. Now, that's a challenge because that requires us to respond in our lives, not just in a one-off moment, but on a daily basis to the call and the purpose of God in us. And so these few days have been a time where God has worked very deeply in our hearts and in our lives, certainly those of us that have been here, because we've had time to get before God and he has spoken in different ways. Now, I'm not going to do an in-depth kind of summary of what God has been doing in the last few days. I thought that, and then the Lord said to me, no, I don't want you to talk about what's been happening in the last few days in detail, just to give a very, very brief overview. But one of the reasons why we're not starting with worship this morning is yesterday afternoon when I was praying about last night, about the meeting we were having, I just couldn't get away from thinking about this morning. And he said a few things about last night, but that was it. It was like I began to pray, said a couple of things, and I just found myself praying about this morning. And, well, not just about this morning, actually I was praying for us as a body of people. And I was at home. I couldn't pray really loudly because everybody else in the house and stuff. But I just found myself praying at a deep level where, if you like, there was a groaning in my spirit, if you like, and a deep sense of mixture of concern, a sense of urgency, and a sense that we as a body must respond to what God is saying to us as a church, as a people. Now, over the last few days, God has been redefining what we understand to be church. He's not talked about church, but redefining what it really means to be a kingdom people and to see his purposes fulfilled. And one of the reasons why we're not having worship at the beginning is because the Lord said to me, I don't want to hear your singing. I don't want to hear your worship. What I want is your hearts. What I want is your lives. And out of that, there will be true worship. We could have a nice time of singing. I could bring a word and all of that. But it would mean diddly squat, to be honest, this morning. Because God wants our hearts and our lives today. Not just for today, but for his purpose, for everything that he's going to work out corporately and therefore work out through us individually in our respective things that God's got us involved in our lives. Now, God's been doing a deep work, if you like, profound work in people's hearts in these few days. But when I was praying yesterday, I couldn't get this scripture out of my mind. And this is why I suppose I was concerned as I was praying or felt this concern. And this is the scripture that I had. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. And as I was praying, God said to me, kingdom faith will not stand if it is a house divided. Now I was praying and I'm like, God, is there division in the house? And the Lord said to me, yes, there are divided hearts in the house. And when there's divided hearts, there can't be a unity. When there's no unity, God can't command the blessing. Therefore, we don't come into the fullness of everything that he wants to do. Now, when we talk about division, or we talk about a house that is divided cannot stand, it might not be obvious kind of glaring things that are going on, because what God has been dealing with this week in people's lives is every thought and attitude of the heart. And we've encountered God this week in his holiness. Now, when you encounter God in his holiness, you do have a slight awareness begin to happen about what is really not of God taking place in your life. Even down to little thoughts and little things that we may live with, but yet when God shines his light, suddenly it becomes glaringly obvious that that thought pattern, attitude, motive, way of thinking, speaking, or whatever is out of line with who he is. One of the sessions was about coming up the mountain of the Lord. And when you go up a mountain, you get a different perspective on everything. And when we come up the mountain of the Lord, he gives us a totally different perspective on our lives and everything else around it. When God shines a light, and we can use an example here of, you can be in a room that's dimly lit. And you might be aware of some stuff in the room because of the lighting, but if you turn the lighting up and brighter and brighter and brighter, you become aware of all the detail in the room. Maybe with low lighting, there's not so much detail. You get the form and the shape of things. But when the lights get brighter, you see every little scratch, every little mark, every speck of dust, everything that you realize, actually, this needs a tidy up. This needs a clean up. That needs a sort out. I didn't realize, because we never turn the lights on properly in this room. There's a whole load of dirt over there, or there's this over there, and all of that kind of stuff. Well, that's what happens when we begin to come before the Lord. Not because he wants to give us a hard time, but because he wants to make sure that everything in us is clean so that we live more fully in his purpose. Now, the beginning of the week, the first thing we started with on Wednesday night, and we had this as a word earlier in the year, came out of Job chapter 11. And the couple of verses there were, if you devote your heart to him, if you stretch your hands out before him, if you deal with sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to be in your tent, then, and it follows with a whole number of verses of what happens as a result of doing those first two verses. And that's really what God has been doing over these last few days. As we've been devoting ourselves to him, stretching ourselves out before him, dealing with anything that he wants to deal with, and making sure we're routing any evil that is in the tent or in the house, then all this blessing, this goodness follows, even to the point, I don't know, you might not even remember, it was a number of months back that we were preaching this on a Sunday. It flows into Isaiah 45, where it talks about all the issues of Egypt and Cush and Sabaeans, which relates every addiction, every sin, every compromise, every lifestyle, every other religion. In three lines, God categorizes everything out there that's not in line with him. And it says in those verses that if his people devote themselves to him, stretch themselves out before him, deal with sin in their hand, and allow no evil in the tent, then every addiction, every sin, every bondage, every other lifestyle, every other religion, everything else that sets itself against God, and the verse says, they will trudge to you. They will come to you, they will bow down to you, and they will say that your God is the God. He is the only one true and living God. So God was speaking to us 8 months ago about devoting ourselves to him, giving ourselves to him, stretching ourselves out before him and letting his weightiness come upon him. Now in these last few days, there was a trumpet call from heaven for us as a body to gather together as a people to let the weightiness of God come upon us in a fresh way to deal with anything going on so that God could shine his light on our lives, so that we could then live more fully in his purposes, see all the things that follow being fulfilled, and this nation and other nations being impacted because of what God does amongst us. Now, I know some people, there might be practical reasons why you might not have been able to be here. But for some, what we've done is we make decisions in our heart not to be here, not to be part of something that God has been speaking to us about. I'm not talking about coming to a bunch of meetings. That is not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about is us coming as a people together before God to respond to whatever he says to us so that we as a people can move more fully in the purposes of God together. That's why we have a divided house at this moment. Now, I want to be honest with you. I don't mind from this morning if anybody, you decide to leave this church after this morning, okay? Now, for me personally, give a bit of testimony. This week for me has not been an easy week. I mean, I've been looking forward to these few days, not looking forward to meetings, but I've been looking forward to what God has been wanting to do in me, do in us, say to us, and all of that lot. But yeah, it's not been easy. Pastor Colin has brought a number of words throughout the week that have been weighty words from God. And everybody in the place, every person, if you haven't heard them, you need to download them off the internet or get hold of the CDs for them. Because it's not just about, I wasn't there, so I'll get the tapes or anything. It's actually about your life and my life. It's about the purposes of God. What basically God was talking about is, what does it really mean to be a people of revival? What does it really mean to be a revival people or a revival person? Not just the theory of it, not just the feelings of it or the emotions of it, but what does it really mean to live your life submitted, stretched out before him with his weightiness coming upon you so that you really live a submitted life? I'll tell you, I mean, there were things that God showed me that I wasn't even aware of going on in my life that were just trains of thought, trains of thinking, underlying attitudes at different moments. God shone his light on and he said, I want to deal with that now. And I lay there sometimes or knelt there sometimes, and one thing after another, God, I submit that to you. Father, forgive me for having a wrong attitude. Forgive me for having a divided heart. Forgive me for having a whatever going on in my thinking, in my heart, in my motives. And God nailed me to do with prayer. Not just praying for myself, but praying for us as a body of people. He nailed me to do with things to do with the word. There's certain things I haven't done and I should be doing that he's spoken to me about that I hadn't responded to. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff to do with all kinds of things that God nailed me about. And it wasn't the easiest week I've had. I went away from some of the sessions struggling inside me. But I knew it was part of a process that God was doing. He didn't leave me feeling really cheesed off. What he left me with, this work of God going on inside of me, this sense of God is doing something. And throughout these days, I'm working through to a place where I'm more submitted than I ever have been and seeking to be like that. And I'm sure next week God will show me something else that's going on in me or whatever. But what I said to the Lord, God, whatever you want to do in my life this week, do it. And I want to be quick to respond to you. I don't want to stay there. So I'm not saying stuff this morning and saying if you weren't here, you're an idiot and all this sort of stuff and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But what I am saying is every single one of us in the room this morning, there are things that God wants to shine his light on in our lives that we must respond to because there are God's purposes at stake. If where we were at was where God wanted us to be, then we'd be seeing loads more happen than we are. I'm not interested in what is happening anywhere else or how anybody else runs their churches or does all their stuff. Brilliant. I mean, I'm challenged by some things other people do and all of that, and we've got some great friends who are doing some great things in other places, but there's other things in what they're doing for me are like, man, there's just so much missing as well. And for me, it's just like, we've got to stay true to what God has called us to. You know, God has called us not just to think local church, think local community. That is part of what we're about and what we do. But what God has put in us as Kingdom Faith is to see a nation changed, a nation transformed. It's to see a continent of Europe turned around. Instead of being the backslider of the earth, it becomes a mission-sending place for the rest of the world once again, as it has been in the past. So every one of us this morning, we're going to take some time this morning to respond to the Lord, okay? I mean, I said to the Lord yesterday and today, Father, I want to come with the right heart, the right spirit. I'm not out to have a go at anybody, you know, to condemn anybody. Father, you're the one who's got to bring revelation, bring conviction, do whatever you want to do in any of our hearts, Father. We belong to you. You've bought us with a price. We're not our own anyway. But Father, I want to make sure that whatever's going on in me doesn't come across with any sense of judgment or condemnation or anything. Because, man, I mean, God's decked me this week and he's going to go on decking me, you know, in the right sense of the word. But we've got to become a people of the fear of the Lord. There's too much faffing around in some of your lives. I'm not saying that's everybody, but there's just too much faffing with some people in terms of you're playing with sin, you're playing with relationships, you're playing with other people in different ways, flirting and just other stupid stuff that really is pathetic when you look at it in terms of God's purposes. And I'm sorry if that's a bit whatever, but we've got to grow up, some of us, in this place and get a grip of what God wants to do in your life. You know, you might be 18, 19, early 20s. You're looking for a husband, wife, and then, well, don't bother. Don't flirt with people. Don't give your heart to God. Let him do what he wants to do. He'll give you the right person at the right time. But you just get yourself after God and make sure you put a guard around your life, because God has called you to be a holy person. We got to shut gossip out. We got to shut other things, tittle-tattle that goes on behind the scenes. You don't like this, you don't like that. You'll never, ever find the perfect church. This is not a perfect church. I am not a perfect person and never will be in and of myself. But as long as we're all pointing in the right direction and we're seeking to encounter God and God to do whatever he wants to do, and we're moving forward with God, that's what God's after, the intent of our hearts, and that we're moving forward with him. God said to me the other day, he said, Clive, he said, I'm not watching your life to make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed every moment of the day, because if I did that and showed you that, you couldn't live. You would not be able to stand the reality of who I am if that's what you saw all of the time, where every I is not dotted and every T is not crossed and everything is not sorted. He said, you would literally give up. You would not have a hope. And so it's not like God's just watching every little and picking it, you know. But what is important is that we say to God, as we stretch ourselves out before him, God, shine your light on anything in me that is not in line with you, that you want to show me now so that I can move forward with you. I just want to read something out of a book, just one sentence. This is an awesome statement here. Because what we're talking about this morning is being obedient to the Lord. Okay? But just listen to this. Many people today will only obey commands. But this is not adequate. For behind command lies the will. And in the will is the law of life. Now, we don't live according to the law of sin and death any longer, okay? We live according to the law of the Spirit of life. Now, where there's revelation, there's a willingness. There's a desire, because there's an understanding of how God sees something. Where there's revelation, God flicks the light on in to do with a truth. And instead of that being a truth that you are trying to stick to, when God gives you revelation, the light comes on, and then you begin to live something because you've had a revelation of the truth. And therefore, that's how you want to live. That's how you position your life. So you then live out of desire and you live out of a want to be like that. Now in this verse, you can either look at what we're saying this morning and say, blooming heck, he's giving me a hard time this morning. Or we can understand that there's a spirit of revelation at work this morning where God wants to shine his light into our hearts to make sure that we're not deceiving ourselves in any way, thinking that where we're at is all right. And then everything's okay. Now, over these past few days, even though God shone his light, and there were times when I walked away or we had a break or whatever, and I was a bit like, oh, you know, I hadn't lost peace with God. In the sense of, God hates me, he doesn't like me, he doesn't love me anymore. I'm a mess. I'm an idiot. I'm a Bernie or whatever, you know. Sorry if your name's Bernie. But do you understand that? I mean, in one sense, I was rattled inside. So you could say I'd lost that peace in some way. I'm trying to explain it. But it wasn't like I was out of courts with God and I'd been in, you know, over there somewhere. But in one sense, and what God's shown us through the word this week, if there's anything that I'm thinking or doing that is not in line with him, that is not submitted to him, then actually what I've got is a rebellious heart or a rebellious attitude going on. Now that might sound pretty heavy this morning. Are you saying that everything like that? Well, if it doesn't line up with God, then it's against God. Now, we've had some revival, not preaching, well, we have had revival, but we've had some revival stuff from God this week, and that's why we're doing what we're doing this morning. I mean, to be honest, if we never get around to any praise and worship, so be it this morning. But God has been speaking at a totally different level than just come along, have a few blessing times, have a bit of a, you know, a bit of a tickle, a bit of a scratch there so you feel good and go away. Hey, Jesus is brilliant this week, you know. He is amazing. He is brilliant. But at the same time, he's holy and he's majestic and he's awesome. And when he turns up showing that side of who he is, you can't but help getting on your face, respond and say, God, shine your light on me. So that I live like you are in me. We all know that Christ is in us, the hope of glory, that he is our holiness. But we want to live holy. We want to live righteous. We want to live with the right attitudes. And so anything that is just going on underneath the surface is somehow going to be expressed in actions. There's no way you can have something going on in your heart that does not have an action expressed to it, attached with it. Along with words. Words and actions will express an attitude or a motive of the heart. And what God is doing is refining us like gold in the fire. And sometimes then it's not easy and it's not the most enjoyable thing you're ever going to go through. But what are we looking at? What is the joy set before us that we're prepared to pick up our cross daily and go through whatever God wants to do in our lives? Because there's a joy set before us that is about the locality, the nation, other nations being changed. Therefore, the joy that is set before us is so much more than just whether God shines his light on a few bits and pieces, that really we just need to get over it, get on with and get sorted so that we can live more fully in his purposes. Luke 6, verse 46. I mean, this is another challenging scripture, right? And most of us in the room probably think, well, hang on a minute, you can't quote that to me. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do as I say? Whoa, hang on a minute. Surely my life's pretty good and it's going all right. And there's a few things that need sorting, but you can't quote that to me, Clive. That's a bit serious. It is serious. This morning is a serious, I'm trying to do it in a slightly helpful way so you can receive it rather than just lambast everybody, including myself. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do as I say? What's God saying? He's talking about obedience of our hearts and lives, but understanding that obedience comes out of a revelation of who he is. Because that phrase of we only obey commands, this is not adequate, for behind a command lies the will, and the will is the law of life. You see, your will is connected to your heart. And what is in your heart, you put your will into action to do or to say. And so what we've got to, in one sense, be real and really honest with God. God loves honesty. There is no deceit in God whatsoever. He sees through you and me like a pane of glass. There's nothing that we can hide from him. And what God is doing is, look, lay yourself out before me because I can see through you like I'm just looking straight into everything in your life. And what I'm doing is I'm showing you what you can handle at this moment, right? So that you can uproot that rubbish out of your life, whatever it might be, so that then you can move in my purposes in a fresh way. And when I want to do something else, I'll do something else. But the will is connected to the heart. See, what we're doing this morning, we're not lining up our lives with how do we think we're doing? Are we doing all right? Because, you know, when you're with unsaved people, right? Because sometimes you'll be thinking, oh, you know, I don't know where I'm at with God and this and that and the other. You spend some time with unsaved people and you realize how unsaved they are. And you actually realize, man, actually, I'm doing amazingly, you know, because of God in my life. But we're not lining up our lives with what it's like when we're with unsaved people and how do we feel. We're lining our lives up with who God is and what his word says. That is our only measurement. I know it's not an easy morning this morning, and you probably got out of, I don't know what you thought, coming expecting this morning. I was thinking the same sort of thing. Father, I don't know what's going to happen this morning. But we as a people want to line up with who he is and with his word, with his nature, with his character. And that means we need to, God has called us to be a holy people. It means he's called us to be a people of obedience, but not just because we obey commands out of a lawish, slavish mentality, because that's the old.
That's right.
That is the law, whereas the spirit of life brings a revelation of the truth of God, which then bursts a desire saying, that's what I want. That's how I want to live. Because it's the law of the spirit of life. Amen. So we're going to do some responding this morning. And we're going to do some repenting this morning. Everybody clapped and cheered, jumped up and down. And we need to repent of different things. The Holy Spirit can show you stuff. But We can give you a hand, if you like, with a few thoughts, few ideas. Is that all right? One of the things that God has been speaking about this week is about authority, his authority and delegated authority. At the same time, it's the same thing. You can't have, there's not two different types of authority, his and then delegated. It's all one thing. And he's been speaking to us about his authority, his lordship in our lives. But then that's his authority is also exercised through delegated authority also. There was something said during the week that I thought was awesome. You might, whatever job you have, whatever you do, you might, whatever company you work for, whatever, you know, a lot of the time we relate authority into just, you know, to God and our spiritual leaders. And what's that, you know, what's that got to do with when I'm out in the world? And it's interesting that one of the things that came out was you can be in a work situation, a business. You can be in some form of authority or leadership there. You might not be the top dog in the company, but you might be in some sort of management position where you're responsible for others, and then you're obviously accountable, you know, to your line manager, whoever it might be. But one thing that God said was those two things are not separate. Your authority out there and your submission to authority within the life of the body. Because what came out was if we're not in submission to God and then those that are over us in the Lord, then actually we're not in submission out there.
That's right.
Even though you might think, well, I'm submitted to my manager. If you're not submitted to the spiritual authorities or leadership over your life, then actually you're not in submission because you can't be submitted to one thing but not another. There's God's order and God's way of working, and therefore if we're submitted to him and then those in authority or leadership over us, then there's a right order that's then going to be worked out in the rest of our lives. And so for all of us, one of the things we need to make sure we're lined up with is that we're lined up not just with the Lord. I mean, there wouldn't be one person in the room that would disagree with being submitted to God. Because we all know that God never does anything wrong. Therefore, it's easy to submit to God, in terms of our thinking anyway. Because, well, God's always right. He's never wrong. So it'd be easy to submit to the Lord. But submit to others, well, I don't know about that, because sometimes they don't get it right. Well, it doesn't matter if leadership sometimes doesn't get it right because none of us are perfect. But what the word does say is you've got to submit to that leadership that is over you in the Lord that God has placed in for your good, for your protection, actually. The purpose of leadership partly is to help protect the flock or whatever, shepherd the flock to bring protection. Not just do this, do that, do the other, but actually to bring protection to move us forward. And if we move forward together like that in agreement, we're going to reach the destination a lot faster than if we all have our own way of doing it on the way there, because we'll never get there that way. And so there's a challenge for some of you this morning that you need to resubmit yourself to the Lord because you're not actually submitted in your heart to leaders. Now, I down here, that you know, you can say, well, who are you submitted to? You know, well, I don't have loads of leaders over me. But Pastor Colin, I know he's my dad, but at the same time, I mean, hear this in the right way, but I hardly ever think of him as my dad. If you know what I mean, I know he's my dad and we've got a relationship and all of that. But in terms of everything we do, it's never even in my thinking, well, he's my dad, so I can get away with that. In terms of everything that we're involved in and doing, it's like he is my spiritual authority. He's my spiritual head, if you like. I know Jesus is our head, you know. But and so one of the sessions for me here, I just went through everything I could possibly think of to submit myself and my heart and everything to his leadership. Right? To his the apostolic anointing and grace and to his leadership, because it's like If I have got anything going on inside of my heart in any way whatsoever that is not in line with him, then it, somehow that's going to come out somewhere else. An off comment here, or a thought there, or a way of doing something here, or a whatever there. It's just going to come out somehow. Even if I don't realize it, it's just going to be there going on. Because thoughts and attitudes of the heart are spiritual realities. And spiritual realities don't just conveyed in words and act. There's something real about them that is communicated. You can spend time 2 minutes with somebody, and within 2 minutes you can suss the general vibe of their life. Some people, it's very obvious. You walk up to them, it's like, bang, hits you like a ton of bricks. Others, they're very, very, you know, whatever. But with a little bit of discernment, within a couple of minutes, you pretty much suss somebody where they're at. Okay? And you tell in a moment whether they're really submitted to you or not, or what their heart attitude is towards you or not. Man, I mean, I could spend time with any one of you guys in this place. I mean, I could tell most of you now anyway, just if we quickly met for 30 seconds, where you're at with me. What we're not talking about this morning, lording it over people whatsoever. That is not what we're talking about. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. What we are here to do this morning is line our lives up with God and with his order of things. And one of those things is a right understanding of authority and leadership. Now, if something is sparking off at you at this moment on the inside of you, you've got an issue.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
If you have got a problem with what I'm saying now, you've got a problem. So for me, when I lay on the floor early in the week, my understanding was my problem is not with the person. My problem is with the Lord. Now, what does this mean if I submit myself, like I've been talking about, to Pastor Colin? It doesn't mean that he rolls into my life and he says, Clive, decide this. Clive, decide that. Clive, do this. Clive, do that. Clive, do the other. And he runs my life for me. That's not what it's about. What it's about is when he says, this is what God is saying. Now, because of the way we work, you can chat through that, and okay, you know, you can just really get the real understanding of that. But if he comes and he's like, this is what God's been saying to me and speaking, this is how we need to move forward, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, you go off in that way, I'm going somewhere else. With the relationship, what you work through is well, God is saying that. How is he going to express that? So we want to be in agreement. How do we move forward in that then? How do we see that expressed in the life of the church or Kingdom Faith on the wider scale and all of that? So we don't sit there and he's like, this is what God's saying to me. And I said, well, this is what God's saying to me. Well, this is what God's saying to me. Well, this is what, who's got the best thing from God? Praise God, we hear the same things, and it's like, well, okay, how are we going to work that out? What's that going to look like? Not, oh, that's cobblers, I don't agree with you. That means rubbish or whatever. Yeah, it's in the message, that word, anyway. And so if you got an issue this morning, then deal with it, okay? I mean, you've got two choices this morning. Either deal with it, or if you don't, you're going to have to go somewhere else. But what will happen, because your issue's with the Lord, is you'll have an issue somewhere else. Because what you'll pick up on is what you do and don't like. Now listen, I don't like everything about this church. But it's not my church to change it to become everything that I like. In my house, I can decorate the thing however I want to. I can do whatever I want. It's my house. As long as my wife agrees with me, or I agree with her, or whichever way around it is. Let's do this, shall we, darling? No, okay, we'll do that then. All right, yes. the physical presence of the Holy Spirit in your home, your wife. But when we come in here, this is, you know, in the church, if you like, it's not my church to make it how I want it. Now, there's certain things. Yeah, of course, there's going to be certain things that are have certain things about me in it and all of that. But it's not me to define something that becomes exclusive to a certain group of people. What we're seeking to do is get a hold of the Word and listen to the Holy Spirit and just try and move forward in the way that God's trying wanting to move us forward. And some of the dynamics of how we do certain things, they might challenge all of us the way we pray. Some of the strength and the dynamic and the intensity of that. You, I don't know, in the natural, you might struggle with some of that. But we only pray like we do because God has shown us things in the Word as to how to pray in different ways. Maybe you don't like groaning in the Spirit. Well, I don't either in some level. But if I'm going to, in the natural, it's like, I don't want to sound like a flipping idiot praying like that. But yet, if God wants to release something because we're submitted to Him and He wants to express Himself through, then the Holy Spirit wants to pray like that through me. Who am I to say, well, God, I don't like that. Just give me a couple of shundays instead. And the Lord said, well, a couple of shundays won't do it for that. I need a bit of groaning. We have a victory in prayer meeting every month. Get there. Be there. It's part of what the call is. If you... I understand if you've got kids, only one of you can be, all of that sort of stuff. But don't check out and say, well, that's not for me. I'm not a prayer. You might be surprised what happens when you get there. There can be all sorts of stuff. Stuff within your family going on, in your marriage, stuff within your with your kids going on, all of that kind of thing. There might be tensions and issues. The best place to get it sorted is on your face before God. You might think, oh, Clive, don't give me a spiritual answer. Give me something I can do something with. Start there on your face and let something happen on the inside of you. Cry out to God relating that thing, whatever it might be that's going on. And you never know, God might break out and begin to change it. I've talked for a long time. I don't know what the time is. But we need some time to pray and just respond to the Lord this morning, okay? But it is a decision morning. And we need to respond to, not to me, but to the Lord. Because we want to move forward in God's purposes. Pastor Colin brought a word a few weeks ago. That was a phenomenal word. It's an apostolic word. And the response was, you know, great response. But one of the things that the Lord said during that week before is if you address, I mean, it's along the similar lines of this sort of thing in some ways, but it's like, if you address the issues of the heart, then, and what that morning was about, then you're going to see, begin to see the beginnings of a financial release. Well, the next day, as you heard, we had 42,000 given. And the following week, we had another gift of 80,000 given into Kingdom Faith. And we got other promises of other money. That 80,000, we didn't know it was coming. Somebody just phoned us up and said, we want to give 80,000 into Kingdom Faith this week and everything. And so, if you like, God confirmed His word by what He then did. I mean, He said, if you do this, I'll do that. How many of you know that with a lot of promises, there's conditions? There's conditions with the love of God, isn't there? You know? But with loads of promises, there's conditions. If you do this, then I will do that. If you do that, I will do this. If you humble yourself and pray. If you love me, you will obey me. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. There's lots of stuff that we take for granted. Well, I'll just remain in God anyway, even if I do whatever I want. And God says, hey, hang on a minute, you're taking yourself out of me. Hang on a minute, does that mean Christ says, no, you're taking yourself out of alignment with Him and His will and His purpose. You begin to fall back on the mercy of God rather than moving in the grace of God. I don't know about you, I don't want to live a life under the mercy of God. I want to live a life flowing with the grace of God. I want to see how far away I can be from the mercy of God and how close I can stick to the grace of God. Now, we know the mercy's there when we need it, but I don't want to live over here just touch and go with the mercy. I want to be like flooded over here with the grace. Praying. I don't know what you do in your prayer life. For me, it was another area God went, you know, to do with prayer. Now, mate, I pray. Well, if I didn't pray, I wouldn't be here now. I think I'd have given up a long time ago, you know, just with myself, let alone anything else. But God showed me about, you know, I mean, he said, you're half-hearted in your prayer life. I thought, thanks a lot. I thought I was doing okay. Thought I was giving it a go and all of that kind of stuff. And he said, oh, you're half-hearted in your prayer. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I've got to pray more? Not necessarily. But it was about what happens when you're praying. What are you doing? What's going on? Am I really praying according to his word and his spirit? Or am I just praying because that's what I'm doing? He talked to me about the word and all of that. You know, that I'm not, again, half-hearted in the word and all that. Now, I read the jolly thing. I speak to me, you know, show me stuff and all of that kind of thing, you know. So it's not like, you know, it comes out once every few weeks when I've got to preach or something. Oh, yeah, I better read the Bible. I'm preaching this Sunday, Saturday night. Oh, Father, I haven't read it for a month. You know, I've been reading the paper and all of that, but I haven't read the Bible. It's a living word, and it's alive, it's kicking, it moves, it does stuff. I mean, it's, I don't know, I suppose for me, maybe I have to do more praying because of what I do, and I don't know whether that's true or not, or I have to be in the word more because of what I'm doing, I don't know. But whatever, God called me up short on it, went, poof, 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 poof. Thanks a lot, Jesus, you know. But it wasn't like, oh, I'm a mess, I'm rubbish, I'm naff, I'm just nowhere, and all of that. When God shows you, he doesn't say you start back at square one. He's like, you're at point 95, but I want you to be living at 120. And when you're at 120, he says, okay, there's 140 or whatever destination he's getting you to. What is it? It's about moving on with God all of the time, moving forward. Love for people, another one. You don't love people in the way I love them. Thanks. But what do you do there? You don't get on your floor and dribble all over the carpet and, oh, you know, I'm and all of that. It's like, Father, will you do something in me. Sorry for my hard heart. Or sorry when I don't give people the time, or I'm looking over their shoulder, or I'm doing this, that, or the other, or I don't do whatever, you know, call that person or text them when you say, or a thought comes, or whatever it might be, I don't know, to do with loving people. But it's like, well, God, you put your spirit of love in me, so as I submit to you right now, as I submit the way I don't love or the way I haven't loved, as I bring that under your lordship and I repent of having a hard heart or whatever it might be, Father, I thank you that your spirit of love just begins to flow through me in a fresh way. Father, I can't do it, but I thank you that you do it through me because it's your love in me that is flowing. Whatever else he might pick up on. Speed limit. Oh, I got that one. You think, oh, a bit of speeding, that's all right. I got that one. I don't know about you, I have moments where God nails me and I stick to the speed limit for a bit and then gradually, I'm a bit late for that, so, you know, and all of that. But he nailed me on that one the other day, speed limit. He said, Clive, stick to the speed limit. It's the law, okay? Just give yourself a few more minutes to get somewhere. And actually, when you give yourself a few more minutes, it takes the same time as if you're trying to get there quickly anyway, doesn't it? Those sort of things, because at the end of the day, it might be, that's a that's a dot in the I crossing the T, isn't it? Well, it might be, but if God says at that moment, speed limit, it's like, got me, fair cop, Jesus, okay? But what are they? They're telltale signs of what's going on inside. Oh, well, that's all right, it doesn't apply to me, I'm outside the law because I'm in Christ. Well, tell that when they lock you up in jail for robbing a bank, you know. Well, I'm in Christ, so that I'm of another kingdom, so it was all right. I can just help myself, you know. The law is the law, isn't it? Paul talks about that. If you break the law, you break it. You're a lawbreaker. So, anyway, this is encouraging, isn't it? So, we're going to spend some time responding this morning, but there is something serious that God is speaking about today, okay? And so we're going to spend some time. You can get on your knees. You can get on your face, you can, as in lying down. If you can't do that and you need to sit down, then do that. And we'll kind of give you a few pointers as we go, just to help you to focus your prayer and think about what you're doing, because we're responding here from our hearts. And there might be some obvious things you need to do that you know about that you just, man, I need to get some stuff in order here. But for me, I never, ever, 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 ever want us to have another Sunday morning like this. Ever. When God calls us to do something, we need to do it. If it's revival days, we just do it. Scrap everything else going on for those few days. This is what we're doing. Get out of your thinking it's a bunch of meetings. It is not a bunch of, it is getting before God. Somehow we've got to put some organization around it, some times and when we're going to do it. If we just said, we're all going to meet, see you there. Well, where is it? When is it? What are the dates and all of that? There's got to be some organization around it. But how you look at it will determine what happens in your heart, or what happens in your heart determines how you look at it. We've got this prayer strategy that God is beginning to ramp up. Mate, every one of us needs to be in that prayer strategy. If you are part of Kingdom Faith, you are part of the prayer strategy. It's not just something that a few people are doing. It's who we are. It's part of the call, part of the plan, part of the mandate. If you're part of this church, you are part of the 24-hour prayer strategy. Please don't give me a reason why you can't be there. If there is something very practical, fair enough, let us know. That's another challenge, isn't it? But all of us can do an hour a week. Please don't tell me you haven't got an hour in your week. If you haven't, you need to reschedule your life. If you've got no time to pray, then you're too busy. That's another thing. What are we doing? We're submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. We're not submitting just to something we've put in place. God has said, house of prayer for all nations. He said, I want you praying 24 hours a day, every day. And that doesn't mean me and a few others. It means you, us. You mean you, Kingdom Faith, collectively. And all of that. If you don't like that, that's something you can deal with now on the floor. I mean, anything that sparks you, that winds you up, the fact that I'm still talking and you're saying, shut up and let us get on with it. Anything that sparks you, irks you, nerks you. Whatever, you need to respond. If you have an issue with tithing, you need to get on your face this morning and get it sorted. Tithing is not something from the law in the Old Testament. Tithing started with Abraham giving an offering to the high priest, giving 10% of everything that he just got from that victory, that plunder. He gave 10%. That started the whole issue of 10% is the Lord's. You steward the whole lot, but that first 10% is his. Please don't give me a whole scriptural thing about tithing to do with the law. It is not. If you don't tithe, you need to get on your face today and get that sorted. Now, if you've got an issue with tithing, listen, if you have an issue with tithing and you disagree with how we understand tithing as Kingdom Faith from a biblical perspective, then you will not be able to stay in this church. Because underlying there is you disagree with something. If you disagree, you will tell other people, you don't do it, you disagree, I don't see it like that, and all of that. What does that do? That ultimately spreads division into other people's lives. Okay, you can't be somewhere if you don't line up with what you're part of. I mean, we're pretty word heavy here. What I mean by that is we're into the word. And as much as we want to live the thing and get hold of it and understand it. And if there's something that we're not quite right with, then we want to make sure we get it right. I really don't mind who you are, how much money you've got, and all of that stuff. As to whether you're in the church or not, okay? God is bigger than any one of us to provide. But what we do want is to line up our lives with his word, with him, first of all, and with his word. So let's not stand, because that's the wrong thing to do at this moment. We're just going to spend some time. You can kneel, you can lie down. If you need to come out to the aisles, there's space all around here, okay? But we're going to take, I don't know, however long it needs, 20 minutes, half an hour. But I want you just to find some space now. You can kneel, you can lie. If you can't do that, then just obviously stay in your seat. But we just need to come before God this morning. Now, I don't know, some of you might feel a bit wound up with this morning. You might feel a little bit, I don't like this. You feel like, hang on a minute, somebody just shot a few things across my bow here, and that irks me, that upsets me. Well, whatever it is that upsets you, just get before the Lord. Tell him that it winds you up, because you've got to be honest with him and just see what he says to you. He'll say, repent and get your attitude lined up with me, with him. As you get before the Lord, don't be there silent in terms of just thoughts going around your mind. What you need to do is talk to the Lord. And the first place we need to start is just surrendering ourselves to the Lord this morning. And so what I want you to do, we kind of prayed before we got into the word side of it, but now having heard the word, it means a whole nother thing, a whole deeper level of response and repentance. And so just bring yourself under his lordship. And you can see how you do that by some of maybe your responses from what I've been saying. If there's things you've reacted to, things you don't like, things that, I don't agree with that, and all of that sort of stuff, that's where you need to submit to the Lord. Because I've not been sharing my preferences or what I think and all of that. I'm just been sharing stuff that I know I've been through this week that God's nailed me on, where I've had, you know, when God shines his light, it's not that your heart's all over the shop, but he shows you something and you realize my heart is not totally right. And this morning, our heart is God creating me a clean heart. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So if you've got an issue with leadership in any way, it could be an issue with Pastor Colin. We want to be specific here. If you've got an issue with Pastor Colin, then you need to respond. You need to submit yourself to the Lord. And you need to repent of having whatever's going on, wrong attitude towards him, or you disagree with something, or whatever it might be. You need to bring that before the Lord and deal with it now. If you've got an issue with me, the same thing, or anybody else in the leadership. It might be that at some point, I've had people say to me, are you upset with me? And I'm like, no, what's going on? Well, when I walked past the other day on a Sunday morning, you didn't look at me and smile at me, you know, and I'm like, and people can even take an issue with that. Now, that might sound a bit weird, but sometimes people can take an issue, and it's like, well, sorry, I was probably concentrating, looking for somebody and all of that, and it can even start as little as that. They don't like me, they don't like me, they don't like me. Or have I done something wrong? I must be out of sorts. Mate, just submit all of that to him. You might have a life group leader that you struggle with. Oh, they're not this, they're not that. Man, you know, we pray about life group leaders and we're seeking to raise people up and all of that. And so you might need to get an attitude sorted towards a life group leader because they do have leadership, responsibility and authority for your life to help to encourage you to speak into your life. Just talk with him this morning. Put your thoughts into words as you pray. If there's things you don't like about this church, you've probably talked about them, said stuff to people, all of that. We're not perfect. We're seeking to move forward. We're seeking to get as much right as we possibly can. But if you've had issues with the way things are done or this, that, the other, just deal with that as well. Repent of, if you've had a wrong attitude towards the collective side of things, you've been negative, you need to repent of that. You need to bring that under his lordship. When Isaiah met with God, the angel took that live coal and touched his lips because God wanted him to take a message to the people, but he had to make sure the heart of the person that was going to speak that word was right with him so that when that word was brought, it was brought with God's heart and with a clean heart. We've got the message of the gospel to take out there and God wants it to come with a clean heart. And we can't speak one thing in one with our mouths in one place but then want to speak life in another place, the gospel to somebody. If you know you've got things in your friendships and relationships where you know there's just issues of the heart there in terms of flirting or all of that kind of stuff, you need to deal with that this morning. If you've got issues in your marriage and you need to bring that, if you've been negative about your husband or your wife or you're blaming them and all of that, you just need to bring that under his lordship. Deal with whatever motives and attitudes are going on inside your heart this morning. Maybe you've got an issue with one of your children that's causing anger, frustration, it's causing this and that and the other. Just if you've had attitudes in there, submit all of that. Deal with all of that. You know, if you've got issues within your family, if as you submit yourself to the Lord in a fresh way and you bring all of your concerns, attitudes, motives under his lordship, God will begin to show you how to move out of that situation to see it sorted out. If you're in a relationship, you're not married, but you've got a girlfriend, boyfriend, or that kind of scenario, you've got no right of access to that person's body at all. That their body belongs to the Lord. He has bought them with a price. They belong to him. It's only the day you get married that God gives you to one another physically. And so if you're in a relationship and there's things that are not right there, you need to get right now before the Lord. Somebody else's body is God's property. It's not yours. You've got no right to invade. Our lives are temples of the Holy Spirit. We're carriers of the presence of God. And we don't want to touch what is the belongs to Him that's not been given to us. The day you get married, great. But before that, it's not yours. So if you're in a relationship and you know this thing's not right there, you need to bring that under His Lordship right now. Prayer, the Word, whatever attitudes, motives, finances, tithing, all of that. Submit your life to the Word. The tithe is to come into the storehouse, that which you are part of. That's where the tithe goes, for the work of the ministry of the house, to help facilitate that. If you want to give money elsewhere, that's fine, but that's not part of your tithe. Your tithe comes into the storehouse, where you are a member, the body that you are part of. Everything else is offerings on top that you might give to another ministry or another situation. You might need to just line yourself up there with the Word, with His authority, with His Lordship. You might have an issue with your boss at work or whatever it might be. Just submit to the Lord in a fresh way. If you submit yourself to the Lord about your workplace, bring your attitudes in line, deal with any stuff that's going on in your heart now to do with your workplace or a boss or that kind of scenario. Put Him as Lord in your life there in a fresh way today. And just submit yourself to that authority that is over you in the workplace. God can move and can change things. And He'll probably say, pray for your boss then. Begin to pray. Give me some space to start moving there. Then it's up to God how He moves in the situation. He might tell you to do certain things. We'll be quick to respond to them, because then something's going to change as a result. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just bring everything in line with Him. There's probably lots of different things that might relate to different people that I haven't even covered or spoken about. But you know for yourself what is sparking off inside your life, what winds you up, what you disagree with, don't like, or you have issues with, and not just with the church, but about any sort, all kinds of things. How we speak about our government, prime minister, those in leadership. Sometimes it is not easy to speak positively. But the Word does say, pray for those in authority over you, those civic and governmental leaders, because God has allowed those people to be where they are, doing what they're doing. And all of us can pick out faults and different things in anybody's life. But God always says, take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's. And it might only sound like a little thing. Well, they're just comments and that. Well, let's not have comments about that. Let's speak life over our nation. Let's speak life over our leaders. Let's speak life. Life and death is in the tongue. And we want to make sure that we speak life. If we're not going to speak life, it's best not to say anything at all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you this morning, you're going to find there's some physical ailments that you have been struggling with that you're going to find are being healed and change as a result of what you do this morning in terms of responding to Him. As you're submitting yourself afresh to the Lord, it's like His Lordship then can move through your life in a more unrestricted way. And part of that is, for some people, you're going to receive physical healing. You're going to receive some other healing in different ways, some of you, because of just that coming before Him and submitting to Him and His Lordship, those in leadership over you, because you're dealing with other stuff in your life. That opens up. The Lordship, well, you're placing Him as Lord in your life afresh, and then that enables Him to flow through your life in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's doing a clear out this week. I know a number of you have been at the meetings, and some of them, all of them, whatever. But for all of us together this morning, God is doing a clear out. He's making sure we're clearing the decks as a church. For some, this morning's a bit of a wake-up call. Don't be a passenger in the life of the church. Don't just be here for the things that you like. Be here for God's purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to prove faithful in the little. We want to prove faithful in whatever God has put into our hands. We want, wherever that is in our lives, to do with the life of the church, to do with our workplace or home or family or whatever, we want to prove faithful with what He's entrusted to us. So that you can see that. So right now I can give more, I can entrust you with more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Just continue to pray. Last night we had one of the most profound times in God I can ever remember us having. So I was leading a time of prayer, what it really meant to be submitted to Clive as your senior pastor. We can't go through all that again now. But if you weren't here and you're a part of this church, you need to download from the net. That time of prayer and work through it yourself personally. There isn't time in this meeting to do that. God has been speaking to us about His authority as Lord in our lives. Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We humble ourselves before the Lordship of Jesus this morning. But all morning God has been speaking to me of another word that speaks of His authority and our need to be submitted wholeheartedly to that authority. What do you think that word is? That word in Scripture, which demands complete obedience. It may surprise you, because that word is Father. God has been showing us that there is no such thing in Scripture as unconditional love. Even Jesus said, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. And Jesus said, you will continue to abide in me, to be one with me, if you obey my commands, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands. There's a lot of nonsense talked about the fatherhood of God, as if Abba is daddy. Well, it is a sign of affection, a word of affection. But you see, Father in Scripture, Father in the time of Jesus, was an authority figure. Deep, deep, profound respect as well as love. So don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, I don't like all this submission stuff. I just want to love Jesus. I just want to love God. The only way you can love Him is by obeying Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You can't have a relationship with Father without that obedience. And you can't have a relationship with Jesus as Lord without that obedience. So just as you not only call Jesus Lord, but you submit to Him, so submit to the Father now. And say, Father, I realize I can only be in right relationship with you by obeying you. I can only abide in your love, remain in that relationship and unity of love by obeying you. And I can't obey you unless I obey those that you have set in authority over me. As Clive said, it's all the same thing. It's the Lord's authority. Whether it's in the Father, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, in the delegated authority, it's all the same authority. The authority of God. Yesterday in the meeting, God gave me what I think is an awesome scripture. He has been saying that all disobedience is rebellion. It is rebellion against His authority. All unbelief is really rebellion against the authority of God, because He commands us to believe. And all rebellion brings division, as Clive was saying earlier. Sometimes I confront people with their need to repent of these things, and they say, oh, it's not me, it doesn't apply to me. I brought a word 3 weeks ago here where God was saying that it's not enough to know the gospel, we have to live it and therefore apply the gospel and apply the word to every area of our lives. So you see, one of the things God commands us is to forget the former things, not to dwell on the past. It's a command. He says to us, forgetting what lies behind, we are to reach out for what lies ahead. We're not looking at the back, at anything in the past history of Kingdom Faith. Our concern now is with the present. Our concern is with what God is going to do in the future. So we're just getting everything historically right this morning, so we don't have to look back anymore in obedience to God's word. We are going to move on from this place in a new way with God. And in this passage of scripture, Paul has been saying to one of his young proteges how important it is to teach the people about being subject to authorities. And then he says this, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. That is awesome. Because disobedience is rebellion, is divisive. And whatever else you might say about these last few days, God means business. And He is fed up with self-righteousness, self-protectiveness, people thinking that doesn't apply to me. His word is for every one of us. And when He brings a word by the Holy Spirit, it is for every member of this church. And therefore it is incumbent upon every one of us to respond. God doesn't have one word for some and another word for others. So this is a warning this morning. There's going to be no tittle-tattle. No speaking behind people's backs, especially those in authority. There's going to be no resistance to the will and the purpose of God, of doing what you're asked to do. Because The issues are too important. We have to move forward in unity. We have to move forward where God commands the blessing. There is no place for I'm right and you're wrong. Doesn't exist in this church. God is the only one who is right. And praise God, he has sent his son to put us right with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to say now, just as finish. Yes, Father, I'm submitted to you. As my Father, I will obey you, Father. I submit myself to you, Jesus. You are my Lord. I'm not going to just call you Lord. I'm going to do what you say. I submit to you, Holy Spirit, that I will be obedient to what you lead me to do within the context of this body of which you have made me a part. Thank you that you would declare God's word to me in every situation where I'm placed, so that I can not only know your word, but do your word. Well, we haven't finished. We haven't finished. And I submit myself to Pastor Clive and those who he invites into leadership with him. And I pray for him that he will have the wisdom from God to lead this church in the way that God desires. Now you can clap the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand and praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.